To be having our scripture reading by Jada Lee.
Then God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. They will have power over the fish, the birds, and all the animals, domestic and wild, large and small." 27. So God created human beings, making them to be like himself.
Amen. And that was found Genesis 1, chapter 26 and 27. Thank you.
And let's turn to Genesis, the book of Genesis. You know, sometimes in this world when we are meeting and talking to people, we always hear lots of negative messages. So I hope that this sermon today will give you a more positive outcome and a feeling about yourself and your fellow humans. So there was a story. There's a story of a six-year-old who went to his friend's place. And they were playing inside because it was raining outside. So what happens with boys, and sometimes with the girls, they love ball games. So they were throwing ball inside. As a mother, I do not like that thought of it, but we know what happened, right? They were throwing ball inside the house. So there was a lamp that got broken. So Charlie Galls, the six-year-old boy, calls to his mum and says, "Mummy, I have some news to you. We broke a glass. We were throwing the ball in Jack's house and we broke a lamp. But don't worry. Jack's mum said that, you know, the lamp is irreplaceable." So in his mind, there's nothing to worry. The lamp is irreplaceable. It doesn't matter. It's not important. But I know some of you mothers, when you hear this, it was probably very valuable piece. That's why it was irreplaceable. But in Charlie's mind, it was something that didn't matter. So actually, the story in Genesis about God creating us is not the story of being irreplaceable as we do not matter, but it's a story of being like the lamp, irreplaceable, valuable, that we matter. And to whom do we matter? To God. What does that mean? How do we see ourselves, and how do we see the other people around us? Because of this story, how Bible starts. So when you open up the Genesis, the first chapter, we read from there. For example, verse 6, I'm just randomly now choosing a text. "And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day." You know, God said something. And it was so. This repeats. No matter when you look at there, this repeats. God says, it happens. And then what does he say? Occasionally, he says, God made the two great lights. This is verse 16. "The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them to the dome. And God saw that it was good." There's actually several times he repeats this. He says, it happens, it's good. He says, it happens, it's good. It's like he's sitting on his armchair in front of the fireplace and thinking, I want this, and it happens. But then when the story goes further, when he says about us, let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of and the sea, and over the birds and the air, and the cattle and the wild animals. And he created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And when you look at the second story of the same incident in chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Twice we are told that we were created by him. And not that he said and it was so. We were first and foremost created into his image. Think about a mirror. And what happens? You put a vase in front of a mirror. It reflects the vase, right? It's the likeness of it. That's what we are. We are like the mirror to the vase. Vase is God. We mirror him, his likeness. What, who he is, and because of who he is, what he does. That's the plan. And when you read it, that how he then says, he said in Genesis verse, be fruitful, 28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, over the sea and over the birds and blah, 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 blah. So he even gives a task to be in his creation. And how is he in his creation? In his good creation. He takes care of it. And he told us, do what I do. Be like me in my creation. So for us to rule over his creation the right way, we should know God's character. So we would be like him. So we are not just like him in what we do, but also in character. We're supposed to reflect him. And you know the story of Israel in the Bible. What was the task of the nation of Israel in God's plan? To be the blessing to the nations. Be his likeness among others. They tried. You can see how they worship. Like the nations had gods, different gods and all that. And how Israel comes. And there's just one God that you worship. The one God that you can have a personal relationship. The one God that you can go anytime and you don't need to buy favors. That's the God that created everything and will come to your life and wants to be part of it. Utterly different picture of God than what the nations had. There's the blessing. They were supposed to mirror the likeness of God's character among the nations. Right. They were supposed to be the mirror. But of course their task started from a little bit bad perspective because of what happened with Adam and Eve. Because of the fall, Adam and Eve broke the mirror. So basically, the mirror reflecting is not the whole thing. There's lines going around. It doesn't show the full picture of God. And the mirror keeps breaking up, right? If you don't fix it, it keeps breaking up to more and more pieces. So the reflection becomes screwed up. That's what happened. So actually, when Israel goes, they're... message is already not the whole. God is there though. trying to fix it. That's why he gives the tabernacle. That's why he teaches who he is. That's one way to see it. It's like, I am this. No matter what happens in your life, the sins that are in your life, bring them to me. I'll fix them. I don't know if you have seen a claymakers, especially in Japan, how they fix them, the broken vases. You know, you have the certain glue and you mix gold in it. You can actually buy these kits and do it yourself if you want to. They see the broken vase irreplaceable. They are ready to fix that clay pot, the piece. And they are fixing it with something more valuable than the actual clay. They fix it with gold. And that's God. That's God for us. He sent his only son to fix us with gold. That's what he did. So our mirrors could be whole again. So we could reflect who he really is. And I do have to say, even though it would be wonderful to live in the time of the creation, to be that and not to experience all the evil, the fact is that we did. The creation experienced it, not just we, as people. We know what it means to be fixed by gold from God. God himself gave something about from himself to fix us. So he just didn't create us irreplaceable in the beginning. It didn't matter to him for us being broken. He knew how he can fix us so our irreplaceability doesn't change. We were irreplaceable in the beginning. We are irreplaceable when we are broken. We are irreplaceable when we are fixed. That's how he sees us. And when you imagine him going and getting from the ground the sand or the clay and whatever he already created, and taking it and starting to form in it, and maybe spitting in it, starting to form it, getting his fingers dirty, creating it like a clay. And actually, when you read about the verb that is used in the second Genesis, it's the same that you can find in different parts in the Old Testament when God is or talked about being a somebody who creates from clay, a potter, how potter is creating from a clay with hands getting dirty. They can't create a vase or anything without the hands being involved in the creation, the thought process in it. I have a friend, actually, who is a really good one, making clay. She's making even art on it, not just the things that you can use. And every single piece that she does are different. She even went to get inspiration from one of the islands that we have in Finland. She went there and was looking how the waves are forming next to the sea and how the rock, because Finland is rock country, everything's just plain rock, how the rock forms itself, how it waves, and she creates like rocks in a sea in her art with clay. It doesn't happen beautifully and smoothly. She has to sometimes put it in down and start again and start from the other side, and the other side works differently. So when she's pulling it, you know, the clay that they keep going around, it's about the speed. And she has to change the rhythm to do it, to make the different formations. The most easiest is to make a small clay pot. That's the easiest because you have the rhythm, you keep it going, and you keep your hands the same way, and it just basically forms itself. But to make them differently demands a different rhythm, different way how you put your hands. And that's God, how he made us irreplaceable, different from each other. And that was his plan. We were not supposed to be like each other, like copies of one another. We were supposed to be like him. What does he tell us about him? If he made every single one of us different, how complex is he? And how beautiful that is, the idea of him being that complex, that all of us together, male and female, the full humanity, are his likeness. How can we live with each other in his creation if we don't understand that? If I don't understand it in myself, that it's okay for me being like me and letting my children to be like they are, not to make them as carbon copies of me and with what I want, to give them the allowance to be who they are, and it's okay. So how do we then live in this creation today? Because this creation is broken. When you think about the sin, how the sin came to be, and if we all are irreplaceable, and if we all have been fixed by Jesus, and we in this room, we definitely believe it, right? We all are here because we already have a relationship with God, and we do understand that Jesus saved us, right? I hope we all do. That's why we are here. We need him in our life. So how do we, from this room, when we go out to have the picnic and enjoying this heat, how do we live in the world that has been broken by sin? Because the creation has been broken. God is going to fix it eventually when Jesus comes. Then this place will be the new Jerusalem, you know, the perfection that it's supposed to be. So how do we deal with the reality we are in if we understand that I am irreplaceable and you are irreplaceable? How do we live in this broken creation? Ephesians 2 and 10. Says, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. And if you read Paul, because this was Paul's message to us, so if you read Paul, in his letters, you find the battle that he has been living with this idea. He knows, like we do, we are created new in Jesus Christ. We have been fixed with gold. Jesus is gold. We are irreplaceable. But it just doesn't mean that we just sit and look. We were created to be in this creation. We were not supposed to separate us, ourselves, from the creation. This creation is our home. This planet is our home. It still is. Until it's going to be perfect by God's hands. Because he created it, he can recreate it. We can't. We can't push the weeds out. We can't. But how are we living in this world to do the good works? The thing is that sometimes we want to protect ourselves, right? We do that. It's normal. It's normal from everybody else. But because we are his children, we are already fixed. Isn't our job, our task, to go into the creation and do the good works? Because the broken likeness of humanity is unable to do that. We are able because we have been fixed by Jesus. If we understand who he is, his character, we will be able to be his likeness already today. We are able to go and show what does it mean to love the brokenness, because he loved us first. To love that broken humanity, to love that broken creation, and to care for it. They walk hand in hand. That's what he did. He cared for us enough to give his life. He cared for us to give all he had for us. This is a difficult task. But because we are fixed, we also have the responsibility to show his likeness already today and not to hide ourselves. Because this broken world needs his likeness, needs his presence, and God is calling us to be that. He is able to fix it without us. But he is calling us, come, come with me to the people's lives that you see. It might be just one or two. Come and care for them, love them. Show truly what love is. Show truly what is to take care of each other. Show truly what trust means. So many of the children do not know how it is to trust because of what they've learned from the previous generations. So how can we expect them to know what faith is if they cannot trust the adults around them? What can we do then? We can be the trustful adult. We can show that our word can be trusted. We can practically show it to them by being there when a teenager has problems. Find solution to those problems. Show acceptance into who they are and guide them to make good decisions by not judging them. If we know God's character, this should be quite simple for us. And we can actually search help from God. I have an example from the rock festival that I go to. And I've told you before, that it's one of the biggest ones that we have in Europe. And the virus screws up the time that we think about, right? It's like 2 years are missing. So it must be 7, 8 years ago, something like that. In the tent that we have, because we are during the night, after the main concerts are finished, we open our doors and give them a silent place and a tea so they can get the dust out of their systems. And anyway, when you drink alcohol through the day, you're very dehydrated, so tea works. And as English you might know, it's Roboios tea. We're just telling you, it's different types of Roboios tea and fruit teas that we give. But it really helps them. And then they can just sit down on a chair, that is also very helpful. So we make them comfortable and we talk to them. So what happened one night, it was the second night of that week. two guys come. They come from Belgium. And they're, of course, because we have the cross and the Bible light outside, so everybody knows we are Christians. So first question is always, who are you? Okay? Are you Christians? Yes, we are. We come from Seventh-day Adventist Church. And, of course, then they're asking, what is it? Nobody knows. Which is a pity that way. Nobody knows. So they keep asking questions, and you give short answers. You don't explain everything. You just give short answers, and then you are drinking tea with them again and again throughout the night. These two guys are gays, homosexuals. They come, and they sit there. They're talking to one of the pastors, and he told the story for me. And then with somebody else, two of them were sitting with them table. And they keep asking questions, you know, about God, about church, about religions, about how society deals with homosexuals, like legally in different places, how society, you know, how is their life and all that kind of stuff. A couple of hours, really good discussion about their life. And how would God picture into it and all that kind of stuff. So most of the time when you have a discussion like that, you just listen. You're not there to judge. You are just there to listen and be with them. So the two people were there with them. They come the third night, because this was the second night. They come the next night again. Now they're sitting with me and we're just talking. Just basic life questions like any youth would have. You know that. About situation with money or decisions with work and relationship and all this kind of stuff. These two guys are living together. The other one comes from Catholic background. The other one is totally from atheist background, but it's more like agnostic. That's quite, at that time, it was very fashionable to be agnostic, that you believe into something greater. People have actually that name, to believe into something outside themselves. We talk about life in general. Fourth day, they come again. Fifth night, I was standing outside because I'm very good at, you know, crowd control, and people really want to come, so we have to sometimes close because we don't have enough places, so we have to close. So I'm talking with people outside. They are again talking in there. And one of them comes, carrying a small candle, because we have candles, and say, can I take the candle with me? I want to go and pray. And this is the agnostic. I said, yeah, just be my guest, just don't burn anything. No, he goes out with a candle, goes to pray. This is God working. We went there to change their life. And I think all of us have a certain picture with homosexuals and what God, what Bible says and how we should deal with them. There's a conflict in our heart, right? These are first time they met Christians whom they could ask questions that they had. Even the Catholic didn't have the chance to ask the questions, basic questions about who God is. Do we build walls for people because we judge them beforehand? Or we are scared for some other reasons because of their brokenness? Are we afraid just to listen, really listen, and answer what they are exactly asking? Not trying instantly guide them into something that they are not ready to hear. Do we really listen to the brokenness of people? And that was God working. He went to talk to the God. God that he was curious in the beginning, who is he? Don't understand. The picture in popular media is utterly screwed when it comes to who God is. That's so falsified who God is. That they, when those people who come through the tent and they talk about their image of God, it makes me horrified. That's not what his Bible is telling us about God, what they've learned. So we were just there, showing who God is. Not just by our words, but just being there and listening. Sixth night, one of them goes and talks to God. So we can do a lot with really small things. To being sensitive to the brokenness that is around us. To accepting it first, that we are irreplaceable. But also, so is every single person that we meet. And maybe God wants you to be the one that listens to them and stands next to them to show really and truly who God is. Because this broken world has destroyed his image totally. We are his likeness, so let us be his likeness. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sabbath, and thank you that we have a privilege to come together to support each other so we can then, in our everyday lives, be you in this world, to show truly who you are in our actions, in our words, in our listening, in our presence, that we can truly show you in people's lives. And we can care about them like you would care about them. Thank you for the privilege that you have given us, a church family, to come together. The idea that we do not need to be alone, that we can be together and support each other. Because we are different, there is support in here. Thank you that we can come together once a week at least to celebrate you, how wonderful you are, how great you are. Because if we know who you are, we can be your hands and feet and your ears and your mouth in this world. Thank you that you have fixed us with Jesus' blood. Thank you for the privilege that we can call you Father. Thank you for loving us before even we knew how wonderful that is.